This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Hi and hello again. Welcome in to the Action Line on this a Thursday from WGNS. And since it is a Thursday, that means Lawn and Garden Day. Our friends from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, Janie Becker, is with us this morning. Janie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
How's everything going?
Doing well.
Big day tomorrow.
It is.
That's a farmer's market in the morning.
There's exciting days. During the market season, every week has two big highlights. There's no doubt about it for me.
So. And new hours this year, if you haven't been, Fridays and Tuesdays, 7
right.
until noon, and you take
right.
Credit cards this year?
Credit, debit, and EBT payments.
All of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're making it easy.
We're trying to make it as easy as possible. No running across town to get to your ATM. We're just right there. That's been a constant complaint, and we've had people use them for gifts. There's little wooden tokens that's what the money's as, and they buy them for gifts. We've had a lot of EBT customers, families coming in that just are really happy to be able to buy local produce for their families. So.
And of course, the Saturday marketplace begins Saturday on the Murfreesboro Square, 8 until noon. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about farm fresh produce. What is the benefit of having farm fresh produce versus food that's put together by a factory or wherever it is, you know?
Well, there's a couple different issues. Buying fresh foods as opposed to processed foods, you're going to have a higher nutrient content.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have them. You have more variety as how you can prepare them because it's not already cooked or processed or all the additional additives, salts, seasonings. You get to choose how you want to cook. If you like to cook, you want to use fresh foods. And then there's also the fact of using locally produced foods that aren't trucked across the country or possibly from one country to the other. There's a economic impact to your community, and getting to know your agricultural producers is invaluable.
Oh, very definitely. Now, with the new hours over at the farmer's market on Fridays and Tuesdays, mm-hmm. The new hours, as we mentioned, 7 until noon in the mornings, that makes people, they don't have to get up quite as early.
We've had a really good response from that. The 6 to 7 period that we used to be open for, it was very, very few people came. A few people would come before work if they had a big commute that they could get some produce and go home and put it in the fridge. But those few, we asked them about it, and they said, you know, if we get that many more people by changing our hours, then go for it. And,
mm-hmm.
and people have really, really enjoyed the change. We see lots of early lunch folks coming from 11 to 12. And sustaining the market a little bit longer has been good for both farmers and customers alike.
I think people don't realize there is much more over at the farmers market on Friday and Tuesday mornings than just fruits and vegetables.
Absolutely. There's lots of baked goods and fresh farm eggs. There are canned goods, and we have a wide variety of different types of plants, vegetable transplants, herbs. If you want to start your own herb garden, ornamental plants, trees, shrubs, it just goes on and on.
Janie, as you look back over the past week, I know the weather outside, it's been on the hot side, but
mm-hmm.
when the weather is like this, people are thinking about gardening, they're thinking about putting out flowers, they're thinking about all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And what has been the biggest question that has come across your office over the past week?
Well, we're getting a lot of disease questions about both their vegetable plants and their ornamentals. Some people are starting to see some signs of early blight in their tomatoes, which is always a cause for panic. The best thing you can do is try to in the future is try to plant varieties that are resistant to that. We get a lot of powdery mildew questions on ornamental plants, and various insects and everything's all the critters that we don't like are very active this time of year. So,
by the way, if you have any lawn or garden questions, we're going to open up the phone lines early this morning. So if you have any questions, Janie is here to answer those questions. If you have lawn or garden questions, or if you have a comment maybe about a favorite tomato plant or something of that sort. We used to have people who really got into tomato plants, but they it's not quite as controversial as it used to be. Not quite so many different people saying, this is the best plant, no question, that's the one. Mm-hmm. I think for a while, there were quite a few new varieties of tomato plants coming out. That seems to have subsided a bit.
Well, there are still some new varieties that come out every year. More and more of those are geared toward the commercial producer. Mm-hmm. They're ones that are resistant to a lot of the diseases and different pathogens that are the problem. Some of the blights, like I mentioned, early blight, southern blight, some of the different bacterial wilts. So they're geared more toward the large-scale commercial producer, those new introductions, and they've got long names that have lots of numbers and letters and don't mean a lot of things to most people, but there are some new series that have come out in the last decade or so that have some resistance. So all the mountain series that you know here and there are some.
Now a lot of folks are putting out hanging plants, hanging tomato plants, hanging this plant, hanging that plant. Is there an advantage to a hanging plant?
I mean, it's not the way a tomato wants to grow.
Okay.
So
when you do that,
gravity is going to be fighting your tomato in a lot of ways. I have not yet seen a hanging, an upside down, one of the upside down variety or types that did anything to make me wowed and want to go do it myself. It's a lot of trouble to keep it watered. The drainage is so great because for one, it's a container, and it's up in the air. There's nothing to hold all that moisture, and so you're getting really good drainage. That you should have really good aeration around your plant, which is the cause for a lot of diseases if you have stagnant air. But it's also drying out a lot more quickly than if it was on the ground, and you don't have a bottom to your planter. There's just a lot of, and then your plant wants to grow up.
And you're saying no, grow down.
And it's. I think it's an interesting gimmick, but I have not yet seen production on one that equaled a well-grown in-ground tomato.
More challenging, maybe for squirrels. Or do they?
Sure, but the birds wouldn't have any trouble. Your birds would fly right up to it.
Yeah, that's right.
So and birds are more of a problem for tomatoes for me than squirrels, but.
Have any of you had the upside-down tomato plants? And if you have, like to hear what you thought about it. Did you get some good tomatoes? Mm-hmm. That's the best thing. Did you get good tomatoes?
Right. I mean, I've seen some really vigorous, healthy growth on some of those, but not all that great fruit production. So I'm thinking that the balance just isn't quite right with the needs of the tomato and the things it's forced to do because it's living upside down.
If you had a really big tomato grow on that, would it fall off because of the weight since it is upside down?
Well, I suppose you could strap it up with some netting or some hose or what have you, but not more likely than if you had it on the ground and it was a heavy tomato, I don't think. I don't think the plant itself would be weaker.
So
it's a lot more trouble. Yeah. Then if you could just put a tomato cage around a plant in the garden. But if you're looking for something new to do and want to experiment, then I think have at it. But they did create some. They created some stouter, more compact tomato varieties, especially geared toward containers and toward the upside down market. I can't think of the varieties right now, but there are several that are made to be a little bit more compact. And they might be better options. So your cherry tomato would probably be a better option than trying to get a big beefsteak on one of those if you did want to try it out, because the weight wouldn't be so great. Cherry tomato production is generally, the volume's a lot greater. You're going to have a lot more fruits just because they tend to be more plentiful. So if you're just really hankering to do it, I would go for a cherry tomato.
Now, I guess so many people are going that route because they're many people downsizing, a lot of younger families starting off in small places without much yards, and so they don't have a place to put a garden, but they can put some planters or something like that on the
patio. Sure,
a
tomato can easily grow in a container that's a large enough size. I wouldn't put a tomato in anything smaller than a 5-gallon bucket or another other type of container about that size. You could do a half barrel. You see a lot of half barrels for sale.
Yeah, those are good.
You want to give a pretty good amount of soil for something like a tomato. Herbs are a good way to start. If you just have a little patio, you can have a nice herb garden. I wouldn't go for a big zucchini plant for your first thing because it's going to take up all your container area. But try some of the smaller things. Try some basil plants or some chives and get started that way.
You know, it looks like somebody, and if you lived on a second floor, this probably is not a good idea. But if you live on a first floor and you have an outside patio or something, you could take something almost as long as a railroad tie, probably not have a whole square of that, but maybe a railroad tie long and maybe a couple of feet wide. You could put quite a few plants in a planter that size, couldn't you?
You would have the trouble with watering, though, because you're going to be watering if you were on a patio.
Mm-hmm. On ground level.
On ground level. Okay, okay. I was worried. Worried about your neighbors below you if you're watering.
It wouldn't work.
Right. Yeah, you could do a small 4x4. You can grow a lot of vegetables in a 4-square-foot area.
How deep would you do that?
Well, if you were just building it directly on like a concrete surface or something, I wouldn't go any shallower than 15 inches or so.
Okay.
You're going to have trouble with a lot of your wall without any bottom that's not soil. You're going to have trouble with soil coming out the bottom of your container if there's no bottom at all. And that's going to run onto your concrete.
No shallower than 15 inches. So you're saying preferably more.
Preferably with some sort of bottom that has holes in it so it can drain.
Okay.
If you don't have any bottom at all and you're just putting it on a concrete slab or something, you're going to need to get a good bit of depth in order to not lose all your moisture to your surface below.
So you would get, you're encouraging maybe some kind of a vinyl bottom for it and put holes
in
it?
I think one of the best options, if you have to grow on a impervious surface like that, would be to use, you know, large planters.
So you'd
have some bottom surface, even though it had holes drilled in it, but it would contain your soil, keep it from running out the bottom when you watered heavily, and it would maintain some moisture too from the bottom.
You mentioned that most of your calls this week had been dealing with diseases. If you use a raised bed garden, whether it's there on the patio or out in the backyard, do you reduce your chances of disease?
In some instances you do, because a lot of the diseases are soil borne. And there's a difference between soil and what a lot of people use in potting mixes or peat moss blends with pine bark. And when you buy container soil, it's actually called soilless mix. When you buy bags of potting material, most of the time it has no real what we call dirt, which is also soil. If I'm not sure that makes sense, but it's composed of all these other materials, and a lot of times they will be sterilized before they're bagged, and you won't have all those fungal spores, bacterial spores. In the material. Where a lot of diseases come from, though, on the other side of that, is from your transplants. So if you buy from a garden center, and some of the best ones have troubles with this. The soilless mix that they've got, those tomato plants growing in, or the cucumbers or what have you, they might have already been exposed to that, to some of the diseases, and you might transfer that to your own small garden. But containers generally have much better drainage than raised beds have better drainage than in-soil gardens, and that's going to help a lot of disease issues.
You know, I was thinking, here you're putting in a raised bed garden. This is your chance to get the perfect soil. I mean, because we have so much clay in our soil here.
Right.
But it looks like there's a risk there, too. You don't know what kind of soil you're getting.
Well, and a good way to get around that is to start your own seeds and to start your own transplants. And you can get a little bit more control in what you're what your soil, what your transplants have been exposed to if you do start your own vegetable plants.
Okay. 893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens. And Janie Becker's with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. And we'll be back and continue the conversation. Do you have a garden? How's it going? Has the heat done anything, you know, that sort of slowed things down? Maybe slowed you down. 893-1450. Are you having any problems with insects? Or maybe some of the diseased plants? Those things can create havoc. 893-1450. Janie is here to help you this morning. 893-1450. And do you have a cure for keeping birds and pests away from your plants? 893-1450.
Local, all sports talk with Monty Hale Jr. and Tim Tackett. Weekdays at 4 on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Buy a new Ford Escape at Ford of Murfreesboro and get up to $3,500 off MSRP or 0% financing for up to 60 months. The Ford Escape won't have you shying away from the gas station. The SUV gets up to 33 miles per gallon on the highway. Need more miles per gallon? Try the Ford Focus Electric and you'll never need a drop of gas or an oil change again. See the Ford Focus Electric and the Escape at Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield or online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. If you already own a Tag Heuer watch, let our in-house professional watch technician replace your battery and pressure test it. It only takes one day, and it's at half the price of our competition, who have to send the watch off for 4 weeks.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton. Have you had your jewelry professionally cleaned and checked lately? Stop in today for your free checkup.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Alignments, brakes, air conditioner, and emissions repair. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407. On Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning once again. Still clearing that accident on Joe B. Jackson Boulevard out on the south side near the Elam Road area, causing a bit of backup through there, but that is in the clearing stages, so anticipate slowdown there for just a few more minutes. We've got a lot of congestion still on I-24 at 231, Broadway Memorial, also I-24 at 96, 04 Parkway at Kaysen Lane, 04 Parkway at Chaffin Drive. Stop at Bradford Flooring at Paint Center at 1999 Nolensville Pike. Ask about free tickets to the races at the fairgrounds this spring and summer. Call Bradford Flooring, 251-5384. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. And what about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We have a good chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Partly sunny skies. Our highs will be in the upper 80s with a south-southwest wind between 5 and 10. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Faluber. Right now, 72.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good Neighbor Talk is your island of logical thinking and a world of radical ideas. Tell your friends about WGNS Murfreesboro.
Without saying no word, then walks back into my life like it's all gonna be alright. Don't you know how much it hurts when we don't talk, when we don't touch, when it doesn't feel like we're even in love. It matters to me when I don't know what to say, don't know what to do, don't know if it really
Welcome back. Our birthday cake winner today is Mary Davis. Happy birthday, Mary. Mary wins the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland. And your old Saul's is our good neighbor of the day today. Over at the Tip Top Barbershop, Mr. Saul's receives flowers from Ryan's, flowers and gifts, as our good neighbor today. Mr. Saul's has heard so many stories and helped so many people over the decades up on the square, and he is retiring. As a matter of fact, today is his last day. Be sure and drop by the Tip Top Barbershop on the south side of the Murfreesboro Square today and let Mr. Saul's know that you appreciate all that he's done. What a great role model. You just don't find people like that these days. And they're having a special get-together around 1:30 today at the Tip Top Barbershop for Mr. Saul's. And Mr. Saul's, we thank you. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Janie Becker's with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And if you have a lawn or a garden question, if you have a pest question, 893-1450, 893-1450. I understand we're having some problems with the emerald ash borers. You've been getting a few calls on those, I understand.
We've gotten some calls with people who are concerned about it because they have large ash trees that they hold near and dear to their hearts. They might be a fantastic shade tree. They might have some sentimental value. They can be beautiful trees. And this pest has been, it's an Asian beetle that has come into the United States just in the last decade and has rapidly spread throughout from upper Midwest, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and it's coming down to Tennessee. And we've had some reported populations in eastern Tennessee. So we've had several calls with people who wanted to know how to look out for it, what are the signs of infestation, and just trying to get some more info. Anyone who is interested, I would encourage them to look up a fact sheet. The National Forest Service has a very handy fact sheet on different aspects of their life cycle, different stages they can look out for. It pretty well decimates every ash tree when it does come into an area. The biggest way that it's being spread is by firewood and lumber, ash lumber that is not being treated or not being kiln dried and moved from one site to the other. So it moves from recreational areas most commonly because people are moving firewood.
Now, you said this is an emerald ash borer, which is an Asian beetle.
That's right.
Is this different from a Japanese beetle?
It is. The insect kingdom is an amazing, amazing world. there's so many of them. But this is a long, narrow beetle. It is emerald. It's a deep green blue, but it's much more narrow than much longer than wide. It's only about a half inch long, and it's the Japanese beetle we're used to seeing has sort of a round appearance. This is just a short, skinny beetle.
Mm-hmm. And you say it's over. In fact, I'd heard reports of it, as you said, being in East Tennessee,
right. in the Gatlinburg and the Smoky Mountain area.
Ooh, that's right.
It's really can be a problem.
Devastated.
More and more, you'll see fire when you buy firewood. And of course, this will be more of an issue in the fall and in the winter. But you want to make sure that it's kiln dried, because when it's fired to dry it out, that actually kills the larvae, and you're not moving it from site to site. But you might start to see more and more signs at some of your recreation areas. Don't move firewood, and that's what that's about.
And we were up at Klingman's Dome a few months ago and walked up to the top there and up around the top of the mountains. Mm-hmm. Just the ash trees are just in ruins. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's totally gone, and they just stand out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. That's sad to see.
Mm-hmm. You see, there's several different pests we're seeing like that. With there's the woolly adelgid is a big problem in the Smoky with all the hemlocks, and it's good to be aware of, because it you don't know what you've got till it's gone, sort of thing.
and there's nothing to do to stop it.
There are If you have a prize tree in your yard, you could hire a commercial company to do some treatments. It'll be fairly costly, But it comes in waves, as you know, as a population of these insects come to an area, they'll infest a bunch of trees. They're generally, with a heavy infestation, they'll generally be gone within 3 or 4 years. Just really quick decline.
Mm-hmm.
But then if there's no host, that the population of the beetle will decline for a while. So you might be able to save some trees. This has only been around for 10 years or so. I think they found it in 2002. So, but it's not something where you're going to expect the whole forest to be treated. It'll be only those special. And then there's a really large, nice white ash at the Stones River battlefield in the cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if the national park would be willing to try to treat that one if it did come to this area. But hopefully it'll be a little while. But it seems to be moving quickly.
Let me ask you this, because are we looking at if this problem comes into the area, or are we saying when it comes?
I mean, it seems like a win situation.
So it's not going to, it's going to happen.
Right. It was just last year that we found our first reports in Tennessee, mm-hmm. and just a week or two ago, several other counties were added to that list. The Sevier County, Roane County, Blount County, several of those around Knoxville and up into the Smokies. So it's creeping
this
right,
way
rather yeah. quickly.
Now I remember when Dwayne Trail was talking about the Japanese beetles, mm-hmm. and it was sort of like they're in DeKalb County now, and they're coming across Warren County. They're in Cannon. You just felt them
mm-hmm.
encroaching
mm-hmm.
on you, and I guess that's the way it is with these emerald ash borers.
Humans so. Transport. They're the biggest transporters of invasive species. That there are. We move so frequently now. We can move such great distances. There's Kentucky bluegrass that's found in Antarctica now because
oh,
of just being come in on people's shoes. The seeds of bluegrass are being transported to the ends of the earth, and
wow.
there's little populations of that surviving in some of the warm areas of Antarctica. So.
Well, now, as you look at, here we are almost in June. I mean, we're a day away from June, and it feels like it outside. What is it, 72 outside right now? Going to be up near 90 degrees today, up around 88. What should people be doing? Is there anything that they can be doing outside? Have we passed all of the windows of opportunity to plant things in the yard and have them prove successful? Is all that behind us and we're just sort of, you know, making tracks right now?
Well, there's always lots of maintenance to go on to be done in the yard. This is not the ideal to be planting new ornamental perennial shrubs, trees. Of course, there's vegetables, the hot weather plants, they love to be planted on and on and on as long as you can provide them enough water. It's always, if you're growing squash or green beans, really advise people to do successive planting so that they have a continual crop throughout the summer. So vegetable gardening is definitely there's always something to do in the summer. You can start new plants even. But as far as ornamental plants go, there's a lot of, you might want to be deadheading some of your cut flowers. You want to be inspecting some of your shrubs and trees for some of these pests. We get a lot of calls about different galls on trees, G-A-L-L-S. They're insect galls, the deformations on the leaves of your tree.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all things that people are finding just from, you know, enjoying the pleasant weather and wandering around and seeing something that they didn't expect. So there's always a little something to be done.
Seems like we have more spiders this time of the year than we have had in the past. And they're fast working, too. And the reason I say that, I've noticed so many spider webs around. And this morning when I left the house, there was not a spider web across my door. When I went in the house last night, there was a spider web across mm-hmm. the door when I left this morning. So those guys... we're pretty quick about that, and we'll have to get with Dwayne Trail to see what heavy spider web development means. There has to be a folklore mm-hmm. sign to that.
I'm sure that there is. But part of the sciencey reason is because they have a surplus of food. The insect
really?
Population is tremendous this year because we had such a mild winter, and spiders primarily feed on insects,
mm-hmm.
and they. they reproduce based on their food levels. So this year we should see a lot of all kinds of creepy crawlies really thriving. So
now, I shouldn't say this too loud because some mosquito may be listening in this morning. But they usually find me, but they haven't found me this year. Are we not having a mosquito problem yet? Have you heard anything?
That's funny you say that. I haven't heard any real analysis of it, but I haven't seen as many mosquitoes this year either.
And you heard
ticks.
It was going to be rough.
I've been covered with ticks.
Yeah. Oh, you have?
Yes. I found a tick last night.
You really need to watch those.
Really do. There have been more accounts of Rocky Mountain spotted fever in Middle Tennessee based on or transmuted by tick bites.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the issue with Lyme disease in some areas.
That's right, yeah.
Where we do have deer ticks. What we see more often here are Lone Star ticks and dog ticks, but occasionally we can find some deer ticks even in this area.
So it's not just ticks or ticks. Some are worse than others?
Well, some carry different diseases, and the problem with Lyme disease is only carried by a certain type of tick, deer ticks.
And that can be fatal.
It can be fatal. Rocky Mountain spotted fever is more common, and it's generally pretty treatable. It's still not something I'd wish on anyone, but it's treatable.
So watch for ticks. Be sure and check yourself. Have somebody close to you looking around.
Mm-hmm. Treat your pets that are in and outside. They can bring a lot inside. I had a dog on the couch with me last night, and I'm pretty sure that might be where I got the tick I found last night. So she got frontlined this morning. So
now I see also, I'm not seeing the mosquitoes. You say we're seeing a lot of ticks. I am seeing a lot of crows, big crows. I mean, these things are huge. And each year it seems like they get bigger than the previous year. Is this just my yard, or is other PR?
I've
other
been
people?
Meaning to check on that. From you asked one time not too long ago, Bart. I've been meaning to look into that. And I'm sorry I haven't, but I'll be more prepared next time. Because they are everywhere. They really are. And it was just
too.
A year or two ago that we were having a decline in crows.
Yeah.
So I wonder what the change is. And I hear lots of nests. You can hear baby crows. It kind of sounds like a human scream.
I haven't seen those.
Or a human child crying or something. I hear them all the time. So I'll research and get back to you on that one.
If you have a lot of crows at your place, call us. 893-1450. Just try to get a feel to see if there are that many crows in the area. We seem to have more vultures as well. More and more of those. 893-1450 is our phone number. Let me ask you a question. Are deer and rabbits eating your prized vegetables and flowers? These animals, can destroy a season of work in one night. Absolutely. You've seen that. Bonide has the answer. The all-natural go-away deer and rabbit repellent can help save your flower and vegetable gardens from these nuisance pests. All-natural go-away is available in both concentrate and ready-to-use formulations. It can be applied directly to the plants that you want to protect and keeps the animals from eating them up to 45 days. How about that? Up to 45 days. Go-away liquid can be applied directly to vegetables and fruit to protect it for the day that you want to pick it, all the way up to that day. Go-away is in granules. It provides a barrier around the garden and landscape plants and will protect it up to 2 months from the marauding animal pest. Look for Go-away deer and rabbit repellent right now at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. And that's over on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church, the Co-op Farm and Home Center. They also have Go-Away at Martin's Home and Garden. And that's on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church. Ask for Go-Away by Bonide.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
We have a good chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Partly sunny skies. Our highs will be in the upper 80s with a south-southwest wind between 5 and 10. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 72.
We're visiting with Tina Fox at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church.
Come visit us for all those gardening needs. We have everything you need to take care of the insects or disease on your plants. We have a wonderful gift selection. We have a great clothing department, wonderful pet and bird department. And of course, as always, we have the great farm store. So come visit us at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
Right now, head over to the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Good Neighbor Talk on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Wondering how you're doing and where you've been. Tell her I'm in Tampa on the causeway, watching the waves roll in. Tell her I'm in Aspen in a cabin, finding myself again. Tell her that I'm happy and I'm moving.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. Janie Becker's with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. 893-1450 is our number. And let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today? Didn't get them. They were holding on for a little while. When you call, we'll put you on hold. So if you have a question, sort of be patient. 893-1450 is our phone number. If you've had some good luck getting rid of mosquitoes, and Janie and I were talking, we haven't seen too many, but maybe you have seen mosquitoes this year. Have you tried bat boxes? And if you put up a bat box, it takes a while, I guess, to attract the bat.
It will. Like anything, they'll be a little bit suspicious of it for a minute until it becomes part of the natural surrounding. So you'll need to have a little bit of patience before you just expect bats to jump in there.
Can everybody attract bats? I mean, are there some neighborhoods where there are no bats?
Well, if there's no suitable habitat, then very likely they need somewhere to some cover during the day. Mm-hmm. They're nocturnal animals, so they're going to want to spend time. Sometimes they'll actually hide underneath a plate of bark, you know, for some of those really shaggy trees. Hmm. Those can be spots where they'll sleep during the day. You see some hickories and so on that have their shag bark. Hickories are common for bats to hide in. Some of the kind of holes and caverns and trees. If they're in barns, some dark warehouses, that sort of thing, they've it's not just lore and movies. They really do hide in there. So, in addition to caves, of course. But if you don't have any of those things available, then you may not have any bats around.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. I got a question for Janie.
Okay.
I have got a bleeding heart hanging plant, and the leaves are actually dying. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, but it's been kind of maintaining the same moisture all along.
Yes.
Well, bleeding hearts, they're one of those we call ephemerals. They can kind of fade out as the weather gets hotter and hotter, and go into dormancy. So they're above ground, the stems and leaves and so on. They might start to dry up and say it's not worth their effort to stay above ground. what you need to look at and see. You might want to dig gently and see if the roots look in good shape. And that's probably if they are in good shape and nice bright white and firm, then it's probably just going dormant.
Okay.
So in that case, you'd want to slack off watering some, and keep it in the shade, and when it starts to cool down in the fall, pick up watering a little bit more. It probably won't leaf out again until next spring, but if you keep it somewhere protected, it'll probably be fine.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to you on that. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Bye.
893-1450 is our number if you have a comment or a question this morning. 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. And Janie Becker's with us from the Agricultural Extension Service, again reminding you that the Farmer's Market is in the morning, 7 until noon, at the Lane Agri Park. And there might be one person who has never been there before. How's the best way to get to the Lane Agri Park?
The best way, if you're coming from Central Murfreesboro, of course we get lots of customers from all over the county, but is to probably come up 96, mm-hmm. Old Fort Parkway, and turn right on John R. Rice by Sam's, and we're just a little over half a mile down on the left. You'll turn left onto Agri Park Drive and follow the signs back to the community center.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Good morning, you're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
I'm great. I got a couple of questions.
Okay.
Number one, squirrels, how do you keep them out of your tomatoes, which they've already gotten my peaches, but how do you keep them out of tomatoes? And then number two, I've got a couple of plants that the leaves are beginning to turn brown from the bottom. Let me hang up and I'll listen.
Tomato plants. Let me ask you a couple questions before you go. Tomato plants are turning brown?
Or yes, tomatoes. The tomato plant.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's, and probably need to see it to be sure. And you're welcome to bring a sample by the extension center. But one of the biggest causes of lower leaf drop this time of year is early blight, and you can look for it's a bacterial infection, and I just drew a blank if it's a fungal or a bacterial infection, but you'll see these round circular lesions on the leaves, and wow. And that's a sure sign of early blight.
Okay, what can I do? I mean, what can I put on them to?
Well, the first thing I would do is pick off any leaves that the lowest leaves that are diseased, and I would put some mulch down.
Pick off the lowest leaves.
Pick off those lowest leaves. I mean, given that it's a sizable plant and it's got enough leaves above it to support it. You want to get the disease tissue away from healthy tissue whenever possible, and that's true of any plant, any case. Okay. And then if you mulch the soil, you're going to help prevent splash up of the soil where there's going to be more and more of those more of the disease, and so it won't get up to the next level of leaves. So that's a way to kind of maintain what you've already got planted and get some harvest off of it.
All right. Now, you want to get into the squirrels and let me hang up and listen?
Sure.
I'll do my best. Squirrels are one of those things. If you live in a real treed area, like so many of our we have beautiful neighborhoods around here that've got great mature trees, you're going to have a lot of squirrels.
They're doing pretty good this year too.
They are. They are. I mean, there's lots of types of tomato cages. You're going to have some pretty small wire around your tomatoes to keep squirrels truly away from your fruit, and you're going to have to be able to get into that wire yourself when you want to harvest. So, squirrels can network around most any of our traditional fences and cages. You could actually use kind of a chick wire barrier around each individual plant, something that you could. Fasten and unfasten as you wanted to harvest, but squirrels are just—they're one of those problems. Sometimes a good rat terrier or feist might be your best option, but even they can outwit a good hunting dog. So,
the other day, I saw an area in the back of a house, and I'm sure they had a garden in it, and it was a large screened area that was probably 4 feet tall. tall by maybe 8 or 10 feet mm-hmm. long and 5 or so feet mm-hmm. wide. And it had a real fine screen on it. Mm-hmm. I'm figuring
I've seen a few of those meshed gardens mm-hmm. in town where, and that's another way to do it. You can just, you can truly surround your garden with a small chick wire or mesh. There are some vinyl meshes, bird netting mm-hmm. you could put around your plants. But it's going to need to be raised so that it's not directly sitting on plants and so that it can't be smushed down. You know, a squirrel couldn't jump on it and then get lower down to the plant. You're going to have a pretty good support system for it to really be protecting your plants.
And that would work on small gardens of tomatoes and vegetables. And but now he had mentioned he had lost some peaches. You can do about a peach tree, I guess.
Not so much. Netting is going to help of any sort. It will help because it'll give them something to get tangled up in and something to trip up and make it inconvenient for them. But squirrels are crafty, and it might help, though. There are some deterrents out there. I don't have personally a lot of faith in some of the deterrents. They're not going to last very long, if they last at all. Mm-hmm. But I say whatever can work for you, but real exclusion is the only way to surefire keep them away from your fruits and vegetables.
Best thing, if you have some plants that you're wondering about, bring a sample by the Ag Center.
Give us a call, 898-7710, or come by the main extension office at 315 John R. Rice Boulevard. You can leave a sample there, and we'll do our best to diagnose any plant, insect, disease problem you've got. So.
And, of course, tomorrow is the Farmer's Market, 7 until noon. You could probably, I hate to say, kill two birds with one.
Oh, we'll have fruit. We'll have blackberries. Maybe. Blackberries should be coming in, so it's an early season.
That's
we'll
tomorrow.
See you there.
Have a great day, Janie.
You too.
Tomorrow at this time on WGNS, we really don't have a clue as to what's going to happen tomorrow. You won't either when I tell you the guest. Casey Clark is going to be with us. He will have his guitar and probably an opinion. See you tomorrow.